Welcome to the HealthLinks podcast, presented by the HealthLinks family of services. I'm your host, DJ Thatcher. Our mission here is to engage in conversations about the medical, health, and wellness landscape of South Carolina so we're all better informed. You know, in some episodes, we're highlighting maybe a new physician who's come to the area, or maybe it's a new treatment option. And sometimes it's organizations who are helping either medical professionals, patients, or their families. And that is the focus of this podcast. A very unique organization is out there that helps children who are impacted by a parent's diagnosis of cancer. We're joined today by Anna Lunnan, the founder of the Lunnan Foundation. Anna, welcome to the HealthLinks podcast.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here. Thank you.
So, of course, I've seen your website. It's very fascinating. Many people maybe have never even thought of this. You know, if they have a loved one or maybe a friend or family member who is impacted by cancer. But tell us about the Lunnan Foundation. And obviously, you have some personal connection and story. What's that all about?
Yeah. So I started the Lunnan Foundation after experiencing it myself. My husband was diagnosed with cancer at a young age. He was 29. And, you know, when he passed away, we, at 32, we had a four-year-old and a three-month-old. Wow. And I knew that my four-year-old needed support, and I didn't know about any resources locally that could provide that support. So we ended up creating a nonprofit here in town to support children and families when a parent or a caregiver has a cancer diagnosis. We provide mental health support and resources, free resources to their children to help them better cope through the stress of having a parent or caregiver with cancer.
Well, you know, and I can't even imagine what that must be like. Your late 20s, early 30s, losing your soulmate. I mean, can't even imagine. And then with the children, you know, how did you cope at the time getting through that? Obviously, the foundation wasn't around. What were some of the struggles that you faced?
It was really difficult. You know, cancer is often a prolonged journey. You know, even when someone ends up being okay, which is awesome, there's still, you know, treatment can go on for 6 months to a year or longer. There's always, you know, the fear of recurrence. Even when recurrence doesn't happen, there's always that fear. And so it was very difficult emotionally. We had a wonderful support system from one of from our 4-year-old's school. He went to a school in downtown Charleston, Grace Episcopal, and they were lovely, wonderful people. And they, you know, helped us with, you know, they would bring food and just gave a lot of support. But you know, we didn't know anyone else that was going through this locally or, you know, in the state or anything. And so, you know, we often would talk, Mike and I would talk about how difficult, you know, this must be, you know, it was so difficult for us, but then we would talk about how difficult it must be for people who maybe didn't have as good as insurance as we had, or didn't have jobs that we had. I worked at the College of Charleston at the time, so that enabled me to go with him a lot of times to his chemotherapy sessions and his radiation therapy sessions. So he wasn't alone. And then we'd have family come into town that would help. But it is a very isolating thing. Even when you have family and friends, when you're young and you have a young family, you know, you're not usually, hopefully, going through that. So even when you have loved ones that care about you and your church communities or your job, you know, they're doing wonderful things for you, it's still a very isolating thing to go through, which is why we wanted to start the foundation afterward so that people would know, hey, there's other families out here, there's other children out here, and you're not the only one going through it. And there's power and strength in knowing, you know, that you're not the only one that's experiencing it.
Wow. I can only imagine, but you mentioned isolation. Did you find that much of your social network that you had, friends and so forth, just maybe they're uncomfortable, they don't know what to do, and they stayed away? I don't know.
I wouldn't say people stayed away, but when when your loved one or yourself goes through a cancer diagnosis, mm-hmm. it derails your life. So you have to prioritize, you know, getting well, really. So, that means, you know, having to go to chemotherapy, having to go to radiation, or if, you know, you or your spouse are, is, you know, not feeling well because of chemotherapy. So you're not going to go socialize a lot. Also, right. you're immunocompromised, so you can't be as active with friends and family. But there's also there can be a space of like not knowing how to support a family, like loving, we definitely knew that people cared and loved us and wanted to support us. But a lot of people don't know how to support. It can be isolating for folks.
What were some of your biggest needs at the time when Mike was going? Really, I say Mike, but all of you obviously were going.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
During that, what is it? Food? Is it money? Is it? I don't know.
It's all of those things. Yeah. When Mike got sick, he was 29. We already Jack, our son was born and he was already a year. Right. But then he fought it for 3 years. So during that time, you know, our needs changed as things do. At first we needed help with our son sometimes so that Mike and I could, have a date night here and there.
Sure.
Right. So that was really important. By the time he was extremely sick and I was pregnant, our needs were different. They were much more serious. You know, we needed support financially. He was on disability from work. He was an engineer. So when you go from the person being not the sole provider, I was a professor, but he was sure. the main provider as the engineer, down to 60% of your pay, that becomes very challenging. So financially, we needed support. Also, because we had a 4-year-old, 3.5, 4-year-old that we were trying to get to school, and I was still working and pregnant, you know, things like making dinner when I was tired or I was having to get him from chemo or whatever, that also became challenging. So people would bring us food and I can't even really put into words the gratitude I have still for those folks that carried us through that last year. Always had food in the freezer, that I could pull out and make, which is, you really can't put a value on that. But beyond these things, financial and, food and there's also the mental health support, and just having people to talk to, somebody, a professional, when you're going through something very, very traumatic. You cannot do that alone. So that's also a major need and was something that we both sought therapy that last year because we needed to talk to somebody individually. And it's really important, actually.
Prioritize your health with a subscription to HealthLinks magazine. Get every issue of HealthLinks delivered right to your door for only $15.99 a year. 6 issues packed full of local factual health information to help you be the best version of yourself in 2024. Subscribe now to HealthLinks magazine. Visit subscribehealthlinks.com. That's subscribehealthlinks.com. HealthLinks magazine, the Low Country's prescription for well-being. You're watching the Health Links podcast.
We're just trying to fathom what it must be like, number one, with Mike and the whole family dealing with the cancer, but then also the other life event, the pregnancy, and then having both of those things occurring at the same time. Can't even imagine how the what your, you know, your day-to-day priority schedule or whatever was like.
It's really hard to even think about now, because it feels like it's been 10 years. In some ways, it feels like it was yesterday. Yeah. And then in some ways, it does feel like it was a lifetime ago, because it was such a difficult time. When you're going through something like that, you're just really trying to get through it.
Well, Anna, thank you for sharing this, your journey and the painful memory and everything that you went through. It's important for people that have never experienced that maybe to think about people they know in their lives who are going through this, how they might be able to help. So tell us more now about the Lunin Foundation. Like, when did that brainchild come to you, and how did it start, and when, and all that sort of thing?
Well, I cannot take full responsibility for it. So I wanted to give back, and I wanted to have a memorial hike to celebrate Mike's life and what he went through, and to raise awareness. But the Lunin Foundation hadn't been born yet. So I had a fundraiser called the Hike for Mike. Okay. And that was in 2016, and we raised $5,000. And it was at Kaw Kaw Interpretive Center, which was a favorite place of his. I mean, I love to hike. He loved to hike. He actually, introduced me to hiking and made me like fall in love with it. And so we often go to the upstate and North Carolina. Of course, we don't have a lot of hiking down here. However, we have some beautiful parks here, and Kaw Kaw is one of the most beautiful. And and we often would go there. So anyway, we had a hike and we raised the $5,000, and I wasn't really sure what to do with it. We talked about having like a camp for kids or something like that, but you really needed more, money up front. And so I met with who had been his hospice social worker, Kate Rogers. She's wonderful. She's at MUSC Palliative Care now. And we met for lunch, and I said, Kate, I've got this $5,000, but I don't know what to do. And she said, there's such a need right now, kids that, are going through stuff that have parents who have cancer or who are losing their parents to cancer right now, I wouldn't wait until, you have enough money to have some kind of camp or something. Why not just do like meetings or events? So that's what we did. Wow. And it was actually a group of College of Charleston students helped to kind of get it started with me. They did the website and started getting volunteers. And we had our first in-person event at the aquarium in spring of 2017.
Okay.
And I believe we had 16 families that day that came, and it was very successful. And we continued, to grow, and we partnered with the College of Charleston's Child Life Program, which is with Dr. Susan Simonian. And each year, her new cohorts will intern with us or volunteer with us. And they helped kind of provide the curriculum that is now, fundamental to our programming at the Lunin Foundation.
Wow. Okay.
And we have kind of evolved through the years. At first, it was in-person events, and that was it. Now we have in-person family-focused events. So these are bigger events. We'll take our families boating at Kiowa, or we'll take our families to a River Dogs game. We'll have a beach day, something like that. And then we have virtual events in the months in between those family events. And the virtual events are really aimed at promoting coping and mindfulness. So they're doing a lot of creative and expressive activities, and we send a box to the families' homes for the kids with the directions and all the stuff they need. And then they join on Zoom with our child life specialist and some volunteers, and then they complete the activity. They can also do it by themselves with their mom, dad, grandma, whatever, but there's also a time that they can come on. And so that's really cool. We also have every family that enrolls has access to a certified child life specialist that we, you know, provide free of charge, of course. And then we also have mini grants for families, because cancer and going through cancer is extremely expensive. But then when you have little ones at home that you want to focus on top of having a person in your, you know, a caregiver or a parent who is sick with cancer and maybe can't work, whatever, becomes even more challenging. So we also have those mini grants for families to help with their financial burden.
As you look today now, 2024, everything the Lunin Foundation is doing, what are the top, I don't know, a couple, three things that you're doing to help families and children?
So the main things are, you know, it's three main ways. So we have events, mm-hmm. then we have the financial mini grants, and then we have the access to the child life specialist. So a child life specialist who provides support to the families, and this is individualized support. So that's the three main ways that we're helping these families.
Yeah. And there's child life specialists, obviously they've got credentials in that. Are you having to pay them, or are some people volunteering, or what is that?
No, we are paying. So I write grants, and we do our fundraiser, our yearly fundraiser, and through those, and as well as donations, we're able to pay for the child life specialist, the events, and then the mini grants.
Sounds expensive. I know you've got on your website, you've got the 2024 Shuck Fest coming
That's
up.
That's right.
It sounds really good. Tell us about that. That's November 3rd, right?
November 3rd. So this is our second annual Shuck Fest. We're really excited. It's an oyster roast. And this year it'll be at the Isle of Palm Exchange Club, which is beautiful. If you've been there, it's on the waterway. It's lovely, lovely location. We'll have local oysters. We'll have barbecue from Swig and Swine. And then we'll have beer and wine to purchase. The beer will be from Frothy Beard. So we're very excited about that. And then we're going to have a 50-50 raffle, as well as an online and live auction. We're going to have one of our uplift program is our events for our kids. And we're going to have one of the moms is going to speak about her experience with the Lunin Foundation and how we have supported her and her son during her cancer journey. Really excited about that. She's got a wonderful story and she's doing really well. So she's going to talk about that. And we're going to have live music. It's going to be a really lovely day, 1 to 4.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
It's on the calendar. I'll be there. That's good.
So.
I encourage other people to be there as well.
So. That would be great.
How many, do you even know how many families whose lives you've touched and helped?
It's hard to say.
I bet,
It's hard to say because we have family resource kits that are in all the hospitals and cancer clinics in the Lowcountry. And so those touch families that may or may not reach out to us.
Sure.
But we have, in the past 2 years, we have supported, we know, 182 children.
Wow.
So that has nothing to do with the family resource kits. That's children that have gotten some kind of support from us, whether it's attending an event, a virtual or in-person event, or their family's gotten a mini grant, or the family's gotten support from the child life specialist. So that's just since 2023.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. So. Hey, Hannah, your children now are what, like 14 and 11, I guess, somewhere
around there? So yeah. I have so my daughter Harper is, she's in fifth grade and she's 10 and a half. And my son Jack is a freshman.
Are they getting involved pretty heavily with this as well? Or what are their lives like with this?
It's really great. So Harper still participates in the virtual events. She loves them because it's always good to do creative, expressive things no matter what you're going through. So even though, you know, her life is good right now, it's always helpful to do mindfulness and coping. So she still participates. But Jack, actually, he's a freshman at Academic Magnet.
Okay.
And one of our Uplift families that participated several years ago, their son goes to Academic Magnet and he started a cancer club, and they raised $500 for the London Foundation last year. And this year there's 100 students that have signed up for that club to support the London Foundation. And my son, who's a freshman, is in it, and as well as my stepson, Charlie. He's also in it. And so it's kind of, it's come full circle. So they're now giving back and helping other children and families.
That's amazing. Yeah. Good for you and good for them. Oh my goodness.
Really proud of them.
Wow. That's great. Well, if people, want to reach out and get information and maybe donate and so forth, find out about the Shuck Fest.
That'd be great. Yes, absolutely. They can go to the website. If a physician is listening, or a nurse, social worker, a clinician, you can refer a patient on our website. There's a referral form for clinicians. There's also a form for parents or caregivers who have cancer and want to get support for their children. Okay. There's also ways to donate, as well as ways to volunteer and get involved.
Terrific. Yeah. And to reach you directly, people can reach out.
Absolutely. You can email me directly at annalunnan@thelunnanfoundation.org.
Anna, thank you so much for sharing your story and taking such a horrible life event and making it positive for other people too. You truly are a giving person.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us here on the HealthLinks podcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We do thank you for joining us here on the HealthLinks podcast. You know, for any information related to HealthLinks South Carolina, whether it's the magazine, the podcasts, or anything else that we offer in our family of services, check us out at healthlinkssc.com. And for other podcast episodes, hey, check out healthlinkssc.com/podcasts, and you can see our nearly 100 episodes there. And of course, to reach out to me directly with any comments or questions for our guests, or maybe for suggestions for an upcoming podcast, reach me directly at host@healthlinkssc.com. Again, I'm DJ Thatcher. Thank you for joining.